He Said, She Said, or Technically Speaking and Simply Put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
February 2017, He Said, She Said. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this side of the universe. Tracy, what's cooking?
What's cooking? Well, in lieu of February being heart month, Valentine's Day, love, healthy heart, I'm going to redo the healthy red fruit crumble. Yummy, yummy, yummy. Now, this is also on our website, but I've changed it up a little bit. Now, all the recipes that we have on the website are just, you know, you can change them up however you want. You know, you can just take a look at them and see if you don't like this, put that in. If you like that, keep it in, add a little more. I can't even follow my own recipes. But anyway, it's a really yummy fruit crumble with all red fruit in it. Raspberries, strawberries, cherries. If you want to add some huckleberries, depending on what you can get and this time of the year. Usually I use frozen fruit, and it might have some blueberries in there. But anyway, we can pretend that it's red. But it's absolutely delicious, and everybody likes it. Now, I haven't made this in a long, long time because we don't do grains anymore, do we, Corey?
No, very seldom. And you know what? In all honesty, I don't miss them at all. We do have brown rice, black rice, maybe some yams, but our carb intake from wheat and grains is down to pretty much nil now.
Yes. So what I've done is in this particular recipe, on the website it's different, but I use buckwheat flour. Buckwheat flour, it's like a fruit seed, and it is gluten-free. So if a celiac can have the buckwheat, which is wonderful, and apparently buckwheat grows very, very quickly, so no need for pesticides. So that's on the good side. So, I mean, you can change your grains if you want to, but buckwheat, I like it. It's kind of sweet.
It's not really a grain. Yes. It's more of a seed. So it doesn't even qualify as a grain. It certainly has, as far as I know, no gluten because it's an entirely different genus
exactly.
of plants.
But I mean, you hear the sound buckwheat, the name of it, and you think that it would be a wheat, but it's not. And as I said, I do have a buckwheat recipe for waffles and pancakes that are delicious. And it's, like I said, the sweet flavor. So I use about a cup of buckwheat flour and 1.5 cups of long cooking wild oats. And if you want to, in this mixture, you can add chopped walnuts, hazelnuts, pecans, to make it a little bit crunchy, and a cup of coconut oil, a cup of coconut sugar, and some cinnamon, and some baking powder. And this is going to be the crumble. You mix it all in. And by using the coconut sugar, it makes it nice and crunchy. It's really, really yummy crumble. And you mix all that together. And then in a nice big, I use a Pyrex dish. When I make this, I make it big. But you can have the recipe. 6 to 8 cups of the frozen berries, 1/2 cup of orange juice, and 1/2 cup of pasteurized honey, and mix it all in very nicely. If you want to add a little bit more honey, you can. You can add more of anything that you want. Everybody likes it a different sweetness, a little tangier, a little sweeter. And away you go. You mix it all in. And then what you do is on top, you want to crumble. Use your hands. Now, use your hands to make that crumble. And then you sprinkle it all over very nicely. It doesn't have to be a huge, thick crust, but put it all over that mixture of fruit. And then you pop it in the oven at 350. Usually what I say is you pop it in until you can start to smell it. And that's about 30 minutes. 30 minutes to 45 minutes. But when you start to smell it, you know that it's cooking. And you take it out, you can let it cool, and you can add whipping cream. You always like the fresh whipping cream on it, don't you, Corey?
Absolutely, man. I die for that stuff. Sugar-free, just straight whipped cream. And preferably, I mean, if I could ultimately have what I wanted, it would be fresh mare's or goat's milk, not even cow's, but it would be fresh and raw right off the farm and whipped right there while everyone else was whipping the ice cream. By the way, I just Googled why buckwheat is called buckwheat, and it is a fruit seed that is related to rhubarb and sorrel, but it's classified as a grain, and this is typically the dumbed down America, because it looks like a grain. That's why it's called wheat. because of what it looks like and because of how it's classified. You know how people think of tomato as a vegetable and it's a fruit? And avocado as a vegetable, but it's a fruit? It's where it's put when it's laid out in the store. Like a lot of people, how is it, eggs in the dairy section? They think it's a dairy product?
I know.
Because of where it is. Yeah. That's how little we know about food. And we go by where it's put in the store, and that registers in our brain. That's the degree of knowledge that people have in many cases with food and what it is and where it came from.
Exactly. So I totally get you on that one. So anyway, try that. It's a really nice, easy, simple little recipe, and everybody will be happy, and it's red, and it's for heart health, and it's for passion, and it's for Valentine's Day, and everybody will love you for making it.
That's right. And all you guys out there, let's not forget our little sweethearts. Make sure that you get them something. Otherwise, you'll be in the doghouse. There's a great video on YouTube about what the doghouse is. And I think you should actually watch it because it's quite funny. And it's also quite true. It's a one-way journey, people, for the rest of your life. Once you're there, you can never get out.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So that was great. Who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Mr. Jordan Kelman of Social Concierge. And Jordan is an obsessive problem solver. He builds solutions through collaboration and uses consumer co-creation as one of his leading tools. Ultimately, the generation of happiness, the production of belonging and joys of bridging connections is what drives him. He's also, on his volunteer time, he is the current president of TEDx Talks in Vancouver. So, he is such a mover and a shaker. And it was a fantastic interview. But you know what stood out for me most of all in this interview was what he said about persistence. He says, persistence over talent, it overrides talent. Persistence. Kind of like you, Corey, if you believe in what you're doing and you just keep on doing it, you plug away slowly at it, and to build a brand, it takes years to build a brand, and you have to keep doing it. Unlike me, it doesn't work, I change it. Doesn't work, I change it. You like Jordan and his partner, Tyson, just keep moving through, you keep plugging through, and this is what he tells his clients. He also does the En Blanc dinners in Vancouver, which has started from like hundreds of people. I think they had like 11,000 people last year, and it just keeps building and building and building. And he also did the second Superhuman Summit, which was super duper fantastic. He's more of a futurist, where his partner Tyson is more historical. So they blend it together, and just thought it was a wonderful interview. And you asked some really good questions about a partnership. And he talked about it. The partnership is, it's a give and take. You can't always get your way in the relationship. He said it's kind of like a marriage. So it's kind of like give and take, and you compromise. And there's always respect in the relationship. So it was really an exciting interview for anybody who's an entrepreneur or wants to build a brand and wants to have a big production. This is the company that you want to get in touch with, the Social Concierge, right, Corey?
Absolutely. Yeah, what stood out for me during that interview, again, was what you said about persistence. There's a great quote. It's my favorite quote about persistence, because at the very end of the CSNA education program, Module 10, the very last page, the very last statement I make is never, 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 never give up, right? And today I'm going to go in the gym upstairs in the aerobics room and practice my hammer turns for this spring coming up. And it is monotonous and it takes a lot out of me. But there's a great big banner right above the stage and I look at it every single day I'm in there. It says, never give up. And this is the mentality of the great athlete. Why would you give up? What's the alternative? But here's the quote from Calvin Coolidge. Nothing in this world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. Great quote, huh?
Oh, Yeah, wonderful. Yes, absolutely. So keep forging ahead. Now, I think this is very interesting because you and I have had a lot of discussions about this. Jordan believes that public speakers are made, not born. And I've always said that. I believe they're made. He said people can transform themselves to become a good speaker with the right training and the want-to-ness. There you have it. So I was very pleased to hear about that.
It's a nurture-nature argument, right? And what I say is public speakers, great ones, are discovered. So rather than say they're made or born, which is the nurture-nature argument, it goes on and on, it's infinite, it never ends. How do you prove it? I say they're discovered. So whether or not that discovery is associated with a genetic trait that creates that potential in the person to be a great speaker, or whether they were made exclusively, it's hard to really prove it. It really is impossible to prove it, which is more and which is absolute. But certainly the discovery is obvious. There's that great speaker. He's incredible. He's got talent. Let it flow.
Exactly. Well, thank you very much, Jordan. And your partner, Tyson, who we didn't get to speak with, but as a partnership, you've got really something wonderful going on. The social concierge, fantastic. Thank you.
Yeah, right on. And let's not forget that one thing about business for you entrepreneurs out there, for those people that want to create their business, the knowledge of what you're doing is incredible. You know, it's very important, right? The biomechanics, the exercise physiology, the principles of biochemistry, nutrigenomics, epigenetics, all the stuff that we teach here. But remember this, unless you have the capacity to promote yourself, to teach, to provide the advice, if you're scared of getting in front of people, if you don't have what it takes to promote yourself, your business, your concepts, your belief systems, it's not likely that you're going to succeed or succeed to the degree that's potentially there in front of you. So as equal to the knowledge of the field of study is you as a promoter, you as a believer, and you as a person that inspires through your capacity to present what it is that you are promoting.
You're your own best salesman. You're the calling card. You yourself are the calling card, right? Nobody can
That's
do
right.
it like you can do it. Yeah, exactly. But sometimes you need some help. You need some help by somebody helping to promote you as well. But it's not just all smoke and mirrors, right? You have to have some steak and sizzle to go with it, right?
You know, I learned how to sell by doing it, but also watching and studying and taking clinics and seminars and reading books. You don't just go do it and, you know, on your own. It might take you a lot longer as opposed to getting that insight from experts, people that have demonstrated success already.
Yeah, but also you want to be able to have customers that keep coming back. Like the social concierge, he keeps doing the same things over and over again because people see, he tells them if you want to have a brand, you have to be persistent. So they keep coming back year after year to them to organize their shows that they have. So what he's showing to them is that they have a good product and he believes in them. He helps them see their vision and it's working. Whatever you're doing is working, but it takes time. And sometimes we need someone to help us get through that it does take time. And what you're doing is the right thing to do, right? So there you have it. Keep on
Absolutely.
Keeping on.
Yeah, keep on keeping on. Okay, so what's your hot topic?
Oh, my hot topic is it's flu season. I think it's been flu season since December, January, February. I don't know. Here in Vernon it is. I don't know what it's like in the rest of the world or in the States. But it certainly has been here. And especially with my business that I do, working so close with people, you know, you're touching hands and you're breathing on each other. And it's so easy to get viruses and bacterial infections. And then you got grandkids and you're touching and kissing and hugging. And so, you know, is it a cold or is it the flu? I don't know. To me, they both seem the same, but apparently they're not. I guess the flu, it can involve gastrointestinal problems and diarrhea, whereas a cold is mostly in the head and could have a cough. But what are the best remedies? What would be the best remedies, Corey, for the cold and flu? Cut your head
not
off?
Not to get one. I'm just reading on the history of influenza, 1918 to 1919. That's around the time of the First World War. This is the deadliest example of a pandemic in history. The flu infects 500 million people. That's half a billion people.
500 million?
Yeah, and then an estimated 20 to 50 million die. It kills them. So this thing, like smallpox, has been eradicated and many of the infectious diseases, but the flu is still at large today. It still affects a lot of people. Like if anyone has the flu right now, you're out there listening to this, it's not likely you're going to die. Okay, but let's go back in time, maybe 100 years. You've got a strong chance of dying if you've got the flu. So this is another great example of science. We understand what infects us. We understand what viruses are, because the difference between a virus and a bacteria in terms of your experience ain't much. But to actually isolate it, to understand the mechanism of infection, this is only done through modern science. And so this is why we need to move forward and keep on track and understand the impact of our lifestyle and food and training on the susceptibility to become infected. Because like I said, the best treatment for a flu is not to get one.
And also, don't go to the doctor for a virus and get antibiotics, because it's not going to work, right? It's bacteria. But, you know, if you're fortunate enough to be able to rest, that is the most important thing, is to be able to rest, and then you will heal much quicker. If you can eat lighter, then you make room for healing, so your body's not processing food. Herbal teas work very well. Maybe some honey with lemon and hot water, or there's some delicious herbal teas out there that are very healing. Soups are very good. Bone marrow soups are very good. And just rest. You need to rest. Me, I still think I'm 22 years old, and I can do everything that I did when I was 22, but I'm not. Actually, when you think about it, next year I'm going to be 60. So, you know, I have to keep thinking that, you know, you're not the same person you used to be. I can do it, but then I suffer when I start getting out there and doing what I used to do. So we have to be really careful. We have to know when to say no, basically, and know what we can do and what we can't do and how long we can do it for, and really think about what we're doing. But just try to get rest if you possibly can. Try to get some rest when you're not feeling well, and then you'll perk up again. And stay away from people, because nobody wants to get your germs. And, you know, it's very easy to get germs when you're touching people's hands and you're coughing on them and you're sneezing on them. So just try to stay away from people. Try to be quiet, which is really hard to do in this day and age, is to be quiet, right?
Absolutely. That brings cortisol down, and meditation's been proven to sedate and calm the immune system and help with healing. But, you know, when you get a flu, let's say, it's a struggle. The person now is engaged in this war with a microorganism. Okay, it doesn't feel good, it's crappy, and you're kind of fighting. You're in a war. Okay, now think of this. What war would you rather be in? The fight and the struggle against the odds, against the infectious element when you're well. This is what you and I are fighting, Tracy. This is what we encourage people. This is a fight. This is a battle. This is a war. And you're taking on the forces of nature. And nature is, we're enveloped by it. And it's trying to consume us. It's winning. And it will win. It's already defeated us in the hands of time. So every single molecule, every atom, every element that we are made of will dissipate and move from order to disorder. It's called entropy. We got oxidation, radiation, all of these forces. But in the meantime, this Terry Willard talks about this negative entropy, this life force inside of us that's pushing out against the force of entropy from the outside. So that is where the struggle or the battle can be won. If you focus and do what's right, if you stay on track, if you love life and athletics and sport and movement, you want to teach it, and you love natural food and you make it, it's very unlikely you're going to be sick a lot of the time. You're going to be well most of the time. And it's not that we're perfect. No one is. No one can be. But we can be in a state that we're more functional and less susceptible to infection. And then when we do get infected, we recover more quickly.
Exactly. Absolutely. It's no fun to be ill, you know, and the healthier you are, you do heal quicker, you bounce back quicker. But, you know, if you are healthy and well and you do fall ill and you can't do the things you want to do, that's really the drag about not feeling well. You can't do what you want to do. It gets in the way. It gets in the way of doing things. So try to stay healthy and well, and it's all about prevention. And that's it.
That's it. There ain't no more. Okay, cool. So let's wrap it up. What's your final word?
My final word is by Charles M. Schultz. All you need is love, but a little chocolate now and then doesn't hurt.